Last week's shootings at high schools in California and Pennsylvania placed attention again on the intense, often difficult world of young people. In high school, they form or discard values that will shape their adulthood. On Tuesdays this month, Morning Edition is examining loyalty. Today, NPR's special correspondent Susan Stamberg asks two high school seniors what loyalty means to them.
We met at, yes, a Starbucks on the turnpike near their school in Falls Church, Virginia, a D.C. suburb. Jeb Stuart High School has 1,400 students, mostly Hispanic and Asian Americans. More than half get free or reduced lunch. 29 Jeb Stuart students are in the International Baccalaureate program. Very tough courses, lots of homework. IB students Christina Lee and Lindsay Felber are waiting now to hear from colleges. I ask them what they want adults to know about their lives. Lindsay Felber speaks first.
They have to know that we go through a lot. We have to deal with a lot. That it's not just, we're not just kids. I mean, we're growing up. We've got stuff to do. We've got to make decisions about our lives that are going to be with us for the rest of our lives.
Yeah. I think adults tend to think that teenagers are just these ditzy little people who fly around, you know, answering their cell phone and saying, okay, I'll be there in 5 minutes. When really, I mean, kids think about serious things. Kids get offended at the same time to things that adults would get offended at. And you can have a real conversation with kids, you know?
They're both 17 and have known each other since kindergarten. One's dad's a lawyer, the other a network TV cameraman. Moms do various freelance jobs. Lindsay Felber is blonde and smiley on her way to crew practice, and she plays viola. Tina Lee is slim, thoughtful, light blue sweater, silver link choker, hates pop music, likes punk rock and ska. Who is Tina loyal to?
I'm loyal to all the people that I trust. Mainly for me, that's people that haven't betrayed me, haven't given me any reason to think that I shouldn't be loyal to them. My family, definitely I'm very loyal to. All my close friends.
Betrayal, Tina says, is someone talking behind her back, spreading lies about her. If that happens, she drops them.
You're in a really sensitive time in your school lives, highly competitive, waiting to hear about college and all of that. If you saw somebody, a friend, cheating on an exam, and it was a good friend, what would you do about it?
Talk to the friend. I would ask the friend why they were doing it and what they were doing it for, and I would feel as though I had to tell the teacher because it's wrong, and I just wanted to know why they were doing it, and I would ask them first to tell the teacher that they were doing it and why.
But you'd go to the friend first?
Yeah.
I don't think I'd tell the teacher because at this point in our high school career, something like that could really ruin you. And I would probably confront the friend. If it turned into a big thing where it was a bunch of people were getting involved in one thing, I might say something to the teacher without using any direct names. But I really don't think that if it was a friend of mine, I caught them cheating, that I would go up to the teacher and say anything because
the loyalty would be to the friend first, understanding what the repercussions would be.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let me ask you another situation like this. And again, this is what we hear, issues amongst young people your age, eating disorders, especially amongst young women like you. Mm-hmm. What if you saw a friend who you were worried about, either anorexic, bulimic, whatever? What would you... I see you're smiling at each other.
This is getting close to home. In eighth grade, Lindsay had a problem. Friends were concerned. Then they thought she was okay, but she had a relapse. Her mother packed her a big lunch every day. Lindsay gave most of it away and got thinner and thinner. When she denied she had a problem, Lindsay says her loyal friends took action.
Their main concern was that I wasn't getting help, and so they got a letter and wrote it to my mom and said, we noticed this, da-da-da-da, noticed Lindsay hasn't been eating, da-da-da, and got all my friends to sign it and gave it to my mom, and my mom just called them and thanked them, and she knew that she was watching and she knew we had to do something, and it really just showed me how much my friends cared about me.
Lindsay and Tina say in their crowd, drinking and drugs aren't big problems. There was one girl, though, who got out of control with drugs. Again, Tina and friends tried talking with her.
That was kind of a sadder story. It didn't work out. I didn't want to say anything to either of her parents because we just didn't think that they would be very responsive to that. Knowing what we'd seen in the past, she kind of has them wrapped around her finger. Mm-hmm. So I tried to speak to her, and I think Lindsay probably did as well.
Yeah. She never listened to
other issues.
She wouldn't listen to us, and she basically turned her back. It was basically she turned her back, and we had to try and get her to talk to us, and she still wouldn't.
the girl's worried about getting the right kind of adult help.
A situation like this that involves drugs and sex and what have you, you could definitely see how it could make it be even worse. People tend to think that it's associated with depression. Who knows, they might try and force her to go to a psychiatrist and put her on drugs. That sort of thing happens all the time. In high school, you see girls who start going down a bad path and they come back another day and they're on Prozac or Zoloft or something like that, which may not be the right thing to do. Mm-hmm.
By now, over coffee, we have run through some heavy high school issues, drugs, eating disorders.
We haven't talked about boys.
There are usually giggles when teenage girls are asked about boys, but there are loyalty issues too, like when a friend goes with a boy who seems wrong for her, Lindsay Felber.
We had one friend, and she had a boyfriend, and he was saying bad things and basically not being very nice to her at all times. And we basically said to her, you know, he's not very nice to you. I know you can do better, and da-da-da. And she got very mad at us, saying we were all jealous of her and, you know, this and that and the other. But in the end, she really thanked us when she broke up with him and said, you know, yeah, he really was very rude to me, very mean to me, and I know I can do better. Mm. We usually talk to each other about it. Like, did you see what he was saying to her? Does that bother you? Should we talk to her?
Oh, yeah, we wouldn't do it without, you know,
conference with each other.
Otherwise, it's like, okay, is that normal?
Did you notice that?
So you're essentially running a little Stewart High School village. You and your young lady friends, aren't you? It's almost like the role of the Greek chorus in the old days. You get together and you really go at it. Mm-hmm. Is that what happens? And you're just deciding what to do and what action to take, and then you take it.
I suppose.
Those of us who've been teenagers or raised them may find ourselves listening to these high school seniors with amusement or admiration. The world of Christina Lee and Lindsay Felber is more complicated, more dangerous than when we were 17. Their navigation through questions of loyalty, friendship, and caring is the journey toward adulthood, where loyalty takes on different dimensions and is tested in new ways. I'm Susan Stamberg, NPR News, Washington.